In this Spawn on Me review, we tell you why Hellblade 2 is probably one of my favorite versions of storytelling in the modern age when it comes to video games. All that and much more in our review coming up now.
Dragged in chains to their ships so she can trace the poison to its source, find the heart and cut it out. Stop the slavers. Keep her promise.
Senua's Saga is the sequel to Hellblade 1 that brought us Senua's Sacrifice and gives us a new version that kind of dovetails off of that original game in a really fantastic and profound way. This review is going to be very high level. This is not going to be something where we're digging directly into the story in kind of the deepest ways. We're going to kind of keep it really surface to make sure that we're not digging into any spoilers. But what I did find was a really fantastic tale that talked about redemption, that talks about sacrifice, that talks about what it means to really face down your demons in the biggest and broadest ways, while also really giving Senua a new layer to her as a character that I didn't really see coming. It was really cool to be able to dig into not only the new levels of her prowess as a warrior, her ability to kind of learn more about herself as a character, and to really dig into what this game does from a technical standpoint, which is probably going to be the main thrust of this conversation in this review. Ninja Theory has done a fantastic job of reimagining, reinventing, and kind of bridging the gap between the first game and the second game, not only from a narrative perspective, which, you know, the narrative dovetails extremely well from the original game of that feeling of, you know, Senua going and looking to try to bring her loved one back from the depths of hell, to now her being a person who has kind of learned a lot about herself in a way that comes through not only from the narrative bits of the story and the kind of full narrative arc that you see her have in this story, in this game, but also just through a lot of the pieces of technology. It is cool to see a game that has gone from a 2018 release, now having so many years in development, to now being a game that we've seen on Unreal 5 that is fully taking advantage of all the technical prowess of a Ninja Theory and of the Unreal Engine 5. I was blown away by all the pieces that kind of laid this game out. You know, technically it is gorgeous. I think it is one of the best looking games you've seen on PC, on Xbox Series X and S. I think this is a game that has really showcased what Ninja Theory can do as an independent AAA studio, is what they call themselves. And I think what this does is really raises the bar for what we have an expectation for what storytelling can be in a video game medium. I think when I try to think about what this game is, when I explain it to other people, it is a perfect mashup of God of War Ragnarok and Death Stranding. The solitude of being in these grandiose spaces, these far off lands that are taken from real world inspirations. You saw a really great vid doc that they did about how they captured a lot of the visuals in Iceland, and them really digging into the audio layers of this with the binaural audio of having these voices in your head that are really bouncing off of, you know, the landscape and bouncing off of what you think she is thinking from these voices that are talking to her and around her and giving commentary about not only what she should be doing in the moments that she's there, but giving you this idea of like, what is the thought process of a person who is not only going through these traumatic moments, but also having these levels of psychosis that have been going on throughout her journey in both games. It is really well done in a lot of different ways, and I think they've nailed a lot of what you have an expectation for this character to be, while also giving that character an arc that shows a lot of growth. There's a lot of trends and a lot of themes in this game. I think a lot of ones that I think of that come to the forefront are ones around redemption, and ones around self-healing, and ones around having that ability to have that self-audit while kind of being thrust into a space that is extremely hard and extremely taxing and extremely difficult for any human being to go through. They have nailed what that means for this character and shows that Senua as a character within this greater universe is one to reckon with, not one just to be a kind of wilting flower that we've kind of seen her in the beginnings of the first game, and now having more of an idea of who she is as a character comes to the forefront in some really fantastic ways, not only in the combat that you see, but in the storytelling overall in a game like this. One of the biggest stories around this game has always been around length of the game. I think this game does itself both a service and disservice in terms of its length. I finished the game probably around 6 hours or so. I wasn't tracking time fully. It's probably in that 5 to 6 hour range for what this game is, which is pretty akin to what you saw in the first game. And it feels like this story has a lot to tell, but it doesn't tell everything that you want it to tell, if that makes some sense. I found a lot of the characters extremely intriguing. I felt like the character arc of Senua to be something that I wanted a lot more of. And it didn't feel like you were able to get that full grasp of who she was in this story alongside a lot of the folks that are kind of coming along for the ride in a way that felt as satisfying as it possibly could be. Again, I felt like this is a game that told a really fantastic story. I think it tells its story well, but it feels like it rushes to get to the end zone way ahead of time than it could have. And that's not a bad thing. I think, you know, a game like this, I don't think of this as a game in the usual ways that you think. I felt like this was an experience. I put down my controller and was like, wow, that was a really beautiful thing that I got to experience. In the game sense, there are a lot of cool pieces to it. Of course, there's some more puzzles that you kind of have to craft through and work your way through, that you saw some of that in the previous game. I think they've leveled that up in a really cool way. Again, I think the way that you have exposition in this game is done extremely well. You know, the cutscenes that they pull in that really do kind of give you the ideas of what is going on in Senua's mind and the path that she's trying to carve for herself as she's going through this journey are extremely well done. The performance capture, everything that they've done on the Unreal 5 engine of that comes through in like phenomenal ways. Like there are just small touches to those levels of performance capture that pull at your heartstrings in some really profound ways. Like, again, one of the reasons why I go to all the Unreal conferences and go to see those conversations, the State of Unreal every year, is because I love what Unreal Engine is giving storytellers the ability to do. And this is leveled up in a way that even when you see all the behind the scenes stuff that they've shown over the years, it's still now when you get a chance to see it in game, really does showcase why this technology is so important to that medium and what it means for the rest of the video game industry. I think this is a perfect showcasing of what the future is in a way that is very tangible. It doesn't feel like we are looking to the far end anymore and saying, oh my God, I can't wait till we get there. We're already here and we can do that on our consoles in a way that feels just like native to what we had an expectation for. I think Xbox has a banger in this game. I think if you were a fan of the first, you'll be a fan of this one. I do worry a little bit. I think one of the conversations that we've seen across this game and across a lot of the Xbox titles and a lot of the Xbox conversation has been, what does this do for Game Pass and what does this mean for Game Pass? I am of two minds. One, I think this is the perfect Game Pass game. I think this fits perfectly for folks who are looking to try to figure out what this means for a purchase like this. I do also wonder at the price point of $49.99 if they couldn't have dropped it again by another $10 and really made it affordable for folks to be able to play. It's digital only for most folks on the planet. I haven't heard anything about a physical physical edition ever really coming to pass. But I think that mashup of this is probably a 5 to 6 hour game, and this being a $50 title, knowing that there are really good titles that come in at that $40 price point, I wonder here how that works for Ninja Theory and for Xbox moving forward. Because on one end, this is a technical achievement and it showcases what this console can do, what these studios can do, given the amount of time and effort that they put into it. But also, as a person who really loved this game and really liked it, it doesn't feel like there was enough here to justify even a $50 price point. And maybe I'm off in that respect, but I have an expectation for, you know, these games to be a little bit broader, a little bit bigger in some of those ways, especially if you're going to try to say, we are giving you experiences that you haven't really seen in other places before. And there's some of that there, but there's also like pieces of this game where I wanted more. this isn't a game that you want to be a 12-hour game. This is a good 10-hour game. If you gave it even that much, because then you get a chance to really dig into the backstory for some of these characters. You really give a chance for you to go and give that ability that when you get to the end, you're like, oh my goodness, I understand exactly why this character's motivation was here, why they had this conversation here, or why did they have these different discussions throughout this journey that they were having. And it felt like a lot of the folks that come into the story, they're there and then they don't have anything else that really, you know, connects you to them as Senua. They are really thrown in there really quickly, and then there isn't given a lot of maneuverability for those characters to really stick into the landscape and stick into the rest of the story, which was a little bit of a disappointment in terms of what this game has been and what I kind of came away from it with. Now, mind you, I still think that the game, in terms of its overarching and overall presentation, is top-notch. I think every accessibility feature that they put into the game is very well received. I just wanted more of this game. And it caps out at that kind of short 5 to 6 hour time frame. And although it is a very satisfying end, it just felt like it didn't get all the way there to get to what we wind up getting. And again, I'm being very vague because I don't want to talk about the specifics in those things. But it does feel like it was rushed a little bit in terms of narrative space. The next thing I want to dig into is the combat. This is where this game shines in a big way for me. There was a conversation that happened from Ninja Theory and some of the developers where they talked about how the combat was going to be a little bit different this time around. And I played the first game, and although very similar in terms of game one to game two, this game, every fight that you wind up getting to, every combat scenario, besides the enemies looking gorgeous and doing really fun things that throw you off and change up the combat a little bit, it feels like every fight is a struggle. It feels like when you've gotten out of a fight, in the way that they described it, it was truly true to form in terms of every fight that I got out of, I felt like I got out of it by the skin of my teeth. It felt like I was at the precipice of dying many, many times, but kind of pulled it back with a great parry or the ability to dodge at a specific time and get back into a fight and really feel in control of those fights. That felt extremely cool in this game. There are some fun moments in there with some different enemy types that you wind up seeing that really showcase the visuals of this game and showcase when you hit photo mode, stopping time and being in the middle of a fight, zooming in on the character models, looking at what they look like, seeing the visual effects really wrap around you in so many different ways. It really does bring this really cool, like, you're in the arena, you're in this one-on-one fight, you're fighting for your life, you're going into those battles understanding that it's you versus them in a much bigger way, while having all of these other enemies kind of come around and try to fight you on the periphery. Super fun stuff in a way that I didn't expect and really, really dug in Hellblade 2. So to wrap up, I guess the big question is, for folks who are still worrying about Xbox and if the future of Xbox is still bright, does this mean that this is the banger that you've been waiting for? Does this put the ship right for Xbox and for its fans and for the future of what the console can be? I would say yes and no. I would say, for the most part, this is a really flagship title. This is a game that if you look at it in the overarching space of what this game can be, what does it do for the storytelling medium? What does it do to level up what this IP has been trying to do and what it should be able to do in its continuation, potentially moving forward with hopefully another sequel coming down the pipe somewhere down the line? I think of this game as a masterpiece in a lot of different ways. I came away from this game really happy having had this experience. I came away from this game looking at what Ninja Theory did and being like, man, I really want you to use pieces of the technology that you've crafted within this world and do that in other spaces too. I think that this is a game that plays super well on console. I think it plays extremely well on PC. I think the ability to kind of go back and forth from my PC to my console in that ecosystem is something that I think continues to be one of the best value adds that you have as an Xbox player and as a person who plays on PC and on console. And I really do think that this game has a big future for what it potentially can be. I do think this is a moment in time where, with so many folks looking at what Xbox can do and what they have been doing, where there's still some trepidation about what the future holds, I think this is a game that you can play, have a great time with it, and leave with some memorable moments that really did leave me saying, wow, this is what the future of games can be from not only a storytelling perspective, but from a technical perspective. I think looking at what we've thought about the Xbox brand and what's coming down the pipe for them on a hardware basis, we're still in a good spot. If they're getting out and getting games like this that visually feel like this and are this comprehensive on current hardware, and we're still not in the end, you know, the end cycle of what that future hardware or the current hardware can be, I still think there is a lot of goodness that can be pulled out of a lot of the stuff that we're currently playing. It really does take a team that understands what game they're trying to make, what their limitations are technically, and going past that while seeing all of this other technology like Unreal Engine 5 bubble up at the kind of perfect time to really be able to tell this story visually. I think we have something very cool on our hands when it comes to Hellblade 2, and I think a lot of folks will enjoy it. If I was to give a review score of a 10-point scale, this would get a 9 out of 10 for me. I think the length of the game still was a little bit of a pain in the butt. I think the kind of lack of exposition when it came to a lack of expansion of some of the character stories was a little bit disappointing. But overall, I think of this game as a masterpiece in a lot of different ways. I think this does move the needle forward in terms of what games can be from a storytelling medium and what they can be for folks who are really looking for that kind of vibe, where shorter games are great, but also having that thing be very meaty and be very, very detail oriented and be very chunky in that way, and being very dense. I think is very important too, if you're going to have a game that is not as long, but has a lot of good to bring to the table. So massive love to our Xbox friends for providing us review code early again for one of the biggest games of the year. I really do think that you'll like Hellblade 2. If you're a fan of the first game, I think you will definitely love the second game. And I really do hope that we get more cool experiences like this. I think this is going to be something that people will be talking about for a long period of time, and something that people will hold really fond memories for after this game has been long after release. So much love to you all for watching. Thank you so much for checking out more of our reviews on Spawn on Me, and we'll see you very, very soon. Much love. Peace.